Well, tonight I'm going to do something a little special. We're going to, of course, be having a fellowship here in just a moment. And so I'm going to just go over some things quickly here. I'm going to need you to listen quickly. But what I want to do tonight is just quickly go over a few things. But one in particular, one main theme of tonight's Bible study is this. I want to just be an encouragement to you in the sense of how God used our church over the past year in the area of the Great Commission. It was a blessing to see what God did as we have yielded ourselves to Him in the past year. You'll remember about a year ago, about this same time, I started a study entitled Take It Personally. And God led us through that study, and we were all really challenged. God did a work in our hearts and a renewing work for the Great Commission, not just for missionaries going to the field, but our responsibility, taking ownership to talking to people about Jesus and our faith in Him. And I want to just review those things very quickly tonight, but again, a time of encouragement, a time of celebration. If you want to go over to Mark chapter 8 with me, Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verse 36. Mark 8, 36. You'll remember this verse here. I'll read it. Mark 8, 36. The Bible says here, and the Lord Jesus speaking, For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know, that verse right there tells us a lot about what Jesus, how Jesus views the human soul. It's more important than all the world. The human soul is more important than all the world. And my, if when that truth grips our hearts, it will, my dear friends, motivate us and strengthen us in our endeavor to win people to Christ. It's the most important thing on earth. The human soul is more important than anything else on this earth. It is that important. And Jesus compares it. If a man would have win the whole world, but what would it profit him if he loses his own soul? And you know, that has been one of our desires in talking about the importance of one. You know, this past year, up to this date, with your help, some of you praying, some of you going, some of you participating in different ways, different ministries, but together with our door hanger ministry, not counting some other areas, we were able to distribute 4,801 door hangers. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. You say, now, Pastor, couldn't you just said 4,800? Well, you know what? That one matters. It could have been that last one that perhaps somebody responded to. And as far as the fruit that we have seen from that, I would say we've seen a lot of fruit. It depends on what you mean by fruit. Now, as far as fruit is seeing people actually come to know Christ, well, I'll be honest with you. The purpose of the door hangers was, yes, to get the gospel to people. There's no doubt about that. It gets it in their hands. They can read it. But it was not a very intense evangelism. What we wanted to do is to express to them that we care about them. To really state our presence here is to glorify Jesus Christ and to help them spiritually if they need it. They've gotten the gospel. But even through that, we saw one profession of faith. We did, and that's not counting how many we don't know about. The difference it could have made in households that we never heard about and maybe never will until we get the glory. But I got to thinking as I saw Brother David shared that final number with me, 4,801. Hey, you know what? That one matters. Everyone matters. You know, I remember reading that illustration. I believe I might have shared it with you, but Giuliani, the mayor of New York City at the time of September 11th, the terrorist attacks. He was given some a speech and a comment, and he was just talking about the very fact that how every person in that building was vitally important. And he gave the illustration, do you think those EMTs and those firefighters, you know, as they were rushing to the scene, do you think maybe they got together and kind of huddled around and said, all right, how many, what's the percentage of white people you think are here? What's the percentage of African Americans you think? What about Hispanics? What do you think? What about bank accounts? How many people you think here are millionaires in this building? What about people who are just making maybe $30,000 a year? I mean, you think about them getting around and talking about that? That would be absurd. And he gave that illustration that no way, my dear friends, those firefighters, when they went to that scene, they didn't care who they were, what color they were, how much money they had, whatever, they were going in to help them. And that is the urgency that Jesus Christ wants His church to have. It doesn't matter where they live. It doesn't matter their background. Doesn't matter their bank account. That doesn't matter. We're going to get them. We're going to get them for the Lord Jesus, and He wants them, and so do we. And you know, the value of one is so, so important. And I think about that as we have gone out and as we will continue to go out. I'm going to see if I can get this going here. You'll remember our first lesson. I'm going to go through these quickly just as a review. We talked about the value of one. And why is one so important? One is so important, first of all, because a soul is eternal. We know that because Jesus Christ has just told us that. And He says it over and over and over. Souls will spend eternity. You go to an airport or even out in town, do that as just a way to help your burden sometime. As you're sitting there waiting you're in the airport waiting on your flight or whatever, just look around at the multitudes and ask yourself, I wonder how many of these people go to heaven? Or I wonder how many of these people don't know Jesus Christ. Ask yourself that. Because what you're doing is you're going from this just kind of being a theory in your mind, and you're going to just let it really sink into your heart that, man, this is for real. These are eternal souls that I'm viewing. And boy, that makes a difference in just one. And so we see that, and we also see that heaven and hell are real. The glories of heaven, but the agonies of hell are very real, and they're both eternal. And boy, I'm telling you what, that is proof enough for us to know and to be encouraged and motivated on the value of one. And I appreciate what Jesus has taught us about that. And the very fact, too, that Jesus is the only way of salvation. The value of one and understanding that Jesus Christ died for that one. That helps us, too, doesn't it? That's why I could say, it doesn't matter who I'm talking to, it doesn't matter who you're talking to. This is always a blessing to me. I could say, you know, Jesus Christ died for you. You, Jesus died for you. And then some people are kind of taken back by that, like, oh, what, me? No, Jesus doesn't want me. No, Jesus does want you. And you know, you think about that. But I think about the value of one. And you folks have really responded to this. And we have together to this truth. And we're going to continue responding and letting the Lord help us. The second thing we looked at is look in your Bibles in Luke 19:10. Just go over one book there. Luke 19:10. And this is Jesus' mission statement. You know, if you got a mission statement in life, if you just had to sum up your statement and your purpose in life, you've been asked to do that before. It's a good exercise. If you had to make one short statement of how you could summarize your mission in life, this is what Jesus Christ's mission statement is. This is His purpose statement. Luke 19:10. Look there. Jesus says, we see here, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the purpose statement of our Savior. So if it's His purpose statement, bless the Lord, I want it to be mine too. We want it to be our church. What's our mission? It's to go out there and to seek these people in our community and our families and to introduce them to the one who can save. And that is our purpose statement as well. Jesus Christ set that example to seek and to save, to go. It's the part of the Great Commission to win them to Christ. And when you say win them, it's the idea of you're winning the victory over somebody's soul. Because guess who's in, you know, we talked about it Sunday night. Who are we battling with? Well, we're not battling with flesh and blood. We're battling against Satan. He wants the soul just as bad as we do. Remember, Satan's a soul winner. He's seeking to win souls to himself. We're seeking to win souls to Jesus. Amen? To baptize them after one comes to know Christ. It is to teach them to follow in believers' baptism, that they have trusted Christ. We know baptism doesn't save, but that is the purpose of that. And then it's to teach. It is to the disciple. I'm working to setting up with Greg right now, who came to Christ on Sunday afternoon. I'm working on getting a discipleship lesson plan going and trying to encourage him. I want us to be focused on those that do come to Christ, to discipling them. And then the last point, where we'll end tonight, is owning the mission. That's where we take ownership and personal responsibility, saying, "Dear God, I'm a believer. I'm a servant of yours. This is a command. It's not an option." As Curtis Hudson said, and I got it printed right on the bottom of my computer as a constant reminder. He said, "The only alternative to soul winning is disobedience to Jesus Christ." That's it. That's the only alternative, to not try to witness to people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see, make a commitment. I believe we're doing that as a church. I believe we have done that. I believe we've set a plan. We've set up grow teams, avenues for our church to go out. We've encouraged different avenues of inviting people to special events and different things. And we're going to continue to do that. I believe the spice of life is some variety, and we're not just going to stick with the same old thing. We're going to try different things and try to be creative. In fact, you are the body. We are the body. So, you know, I want you folks to think of ideas as well. Don't just leave it up to pastor. You folks have an idea of how we can reach some people for Christ. Some of you teenagers might have an idea. Say, "Hey, pastor, have you thought about us doing this and trying to get the gospel to people in a way we can love them and show them the love of Christ? Hey, come to me." We're a body, and everybody's idea needs to be considered. And I believe that wholeheartedly. And then we seek God's help. And that's what we're doing tonight. We're meeting for prayer as well. And I thank God for our prayer teams. You say, "Pastor, I'm not as physically able to get out and do the door knocking, or there may be some other restraints or some other limitations." And you know what? But you could say, "Well, I'd be glad to meet with some folks and pray." Hey, I wish you would. I hope you will. We need God's help when we're going out, and our prayer team stay and anchor down and just intercede for those that are going out. We'll continue that. And then to prepare a message. That's the gospel message. We'll be seeing more of that in the coming year. I'm hoping to get a little bit more detailed with opportunities of sharing the gospel. I realized, even talking with Greg on Sunday, as Christian and I stood there, folks, even as a pastor, I feel many times intimidated. Who was it? Was it Brother Aaron that said that? Aaron Coffey? I can't remember exactly what he quoted. It was something of the idea of, the idea of being nervous, or being a coward or something. But the idea was, look, it's okay to be nervous. Just go forward in dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ and His Spirit. That's where it makes the difference. And so preparing a message is something we're going to continue to work on as a church, with different ways to share the gospel, and sharing it without fear. And maybe that was the idea of having the right type of fear that Brother Aaron said. One of y'all, if y'all remember that quote, I want to know it. Or I'm going to have to go back and write. Does anybody remember that quote that Brother Aaron made? What was it? Amen. That's like, man, verbatim. Praise God. That's good, Jason. He said very clearly that just because we experience the emotion of fear does not mean we have to be a coward. And that is just right down the line. And we need to hear that. And God's going to help us. And so those are just some of the things I wanted to share before we break up here in prayer as a reminder. And just praise the Lord for what He's doing in our church. And I will say this. Can you flip with me to one verse? Flip over to one verse in closing, Philippians. Philippians chapter. The Lord gave me this verse, in this area of our church as our body being committed to the Great Commission and the commitment we've made to the Lord and our renewed commitment. I believe this church, since its beginning, has been committed in some way to the Great Commission. But I believe even last year we made a more in-depth commitment, renewed commitment. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. I'm claiming this before the Lord for our church. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says this, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, these are people that Paul had led to the Lord, but look what Paul told them they were doing. Look what he said he thanked God for in verse 5. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And God, Paul was stating, I'm confident of this, that God's going to continue it. And I believe God's going to continue it in our church too. I believe it's just going to grow. And I'm asking God, just make it a part of our DNA. That bless the Lord. We got people that join our church. It's an automatic. We're teaming up with a grow team. We're going to be on GROW. We're going to go out once a month. Man, we're going to get involved with these outreaches. It's just who we are. We just make it a point as a body. We're going to go out and tell people about Jesus. And we're going to be thankful for it. We're going to let the power of God. But you know what? That's not going to come easy. It will come with a battle. We know that. But it will be worth it all, even for that one. I talked to Brother David Edens the other day. I met him with coffee. He gave 40 years of his life in the Sahara Desert. And he says it to me often, but I just appreciate it. He said, Brother Brinson, I want you to know, I spent 40 years of my life out there. And his wife is, Sister Donna, is in very, very, very bad health. Very bad health. He's very concerned. He doesn't know how much longer. And she gets winded just walking from here to the piano. She'll come back. She's very winded. And he said, Brother Brinson, he said, if only one, 40 years of my life out there, if just one comes to know Christ, it's worth it all. Every year of my life, the toll it's taken on my family, my health, my wife's health, my children's health, the being away from family, for nearly 70% of that time. He said, I want you to know, it'd be worth it all. That's the value of one, and I trust that God will help us to understand that. I think I almost got myself in trouble. Well, I shouldn't say I almost got myself in trouble. I felt like I was getting myself in trouble the other day. I left here Sunday night after preaching that message on our time is short and how we're in a battle, spiritual battle for the souls of men against Satan. And God really dealt with me in that message, and it helped me. The Word of God helped me. The Spirit of God helped me. But you know, the Lord put me to test on the way home. Don't you just love it when you do that? God speaks to you in the message, and you think maybe the Lord could maybe wait a week before you get tested, but then on your way home, you're tested. And I had gone by a place, as most of you know, we have moved to the Arcade area of town, over there by Ramblers End Road. And on the way to Arcade, I pass two liquor stores, okay? I know that makes me feel good when I tell guest speakers, listen, pass the two liquor stores and take a right on that Ramblers End Road. But they're there every time. And I think about them and I pray about them often. I say, Lord, please close these stores down. Help these people get saved. And the Lord reminds me often. He says, son, I'll close them down, but those people won't close that store down until they come to know Jesus Christ. They won't close them down. They got to get born again. Lost man, not going to close it down. You know what? God could burn that building down. God could blow that building up. You know what a lost man will do? He'll take that insurance money and build a better one. These people need to get born again. And I went by there that night, and it's probably about 8 o'clock, and there were two men out in the front door. I believe they worked there. And I rode by there, and as soon as I looked at them, the Lord said, there they are. I was like, no, Lord, no, they're not. I'm going on. And I went down my Ramblers End Road. I crossed the railroad tracks, got to the railroad tracks, and the Lord says, you need to go back. I said, Lord, you sure this is all right? What if my church member sees me out there at the liquor store? I said, Lord, what am I going to do? He said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of that. So I did. I turned around. I pulled in. I still had my tie on, and I could tell when I got out of the truck, I knew that we both were nervous. They were nervous. I was nervous, okay? What's this guy doing? And I walk up to him, and I just say, gentlemen, I just want to give you, I gave him a Be Our Guest gospel track. I said, I just wanted to come by and invite you all out to church. So I'm the pastor at Crooked Creek Baptist Church. And they just were looking at me with just a kind of a weird look. It wasn't a mad look, and it wasn't really a happy look. It was like, are you stupid? Are you crazy? What are you doing? And I just told them, I said, well, listen, guys, I just want you to know we love you. And we would love for you guys to come and visit us sometime. I pass by here all the time, and I just wanted to invite you. And I'll never forget his response. The one guy said, well, would your church have a problem with two alcoholics coming? I'll never forget that. I said, sir, no, we would not. I said, we would love for you to come just like you are. Jesus wants you just like you are. God will give you the victory to overcome that alcohol. And He loves you. And I could tell that, you know, it was the conversation was coming to an end. And they thanked me and said, well, thank you. I appreciate it. Where's your church at? And I explained to them. And I just left it with them and went on the road. But I just give God the glory. I'm not saying that to brag. I've passed by it many times and put it off. But I just want to tell you, folks, there are people out there that God wants us to share the gospel with. And it needs to be a daily concern. Lord, who can I share the gospel with today? You know, I think about this and I think about the commitment of our church, and I believe the best days are ahead of seeing people come to know Christ. I do believe that as we commit in our hearts.